Welcome to Knowing God in the Word, brought to you by the Word of Truth Ministry, publishers of Seed and Bread. I'm your host, Bob Juno, with Bible teacher Nathan Johnson. This radio program is for the purpose of helping listeners fulfill the greatest need we have as believers, to know God. Today, Nathan will continue his teaching series on the why question with, does God determine everything? And now, Bible teacher Nathan Johnson.
Thanks, Bob. One of the most difficult questions we must ask ourselves as believers is the why question. And that is that we believe that there is a God who is all good and all loving and who made the world. And yet we then must ask, why then is this world such a terrible place? Why is it in such a mess? Why do such awful things happen? This happened to a family close to me just, as I said, a week ago in my last program. Their poor, dear little 1.5-year-old boy, now dead. Why do such terrible things happen? Well, we have given part of what I believe is the answer to this question, and that is that God did not create this world to be this way. He created this world to be free from calamity. And yet when Adam and Eve, or Isha, the first two human beings, when they listened to Satan and went Satan's way, well, then they brought calamity into this world. And they inadvertently chose Satan to be the representative of this world in God's court. Last time we asked the question, well, if Satan caused all these problems, then why did God create Satan in the first place then? And we discussed the fact that God created Satan for a good purpose. And yet he gave Satan a choice like he does everyone else, and Satan fell and used all the talents and abilities God gave him against God. And yet this time we might ask the question, although I've been blaming a lot of the calamity and heartache and fallenness of this world on Adam and Eve's rebellion in the beginning and Satan instigating that rebellion, well, yet isn't it still true that God is ultimately responsible for what Satan does if God determines everything that happens? And this is a belief that many people have. For many people, they have this idea that God determines everything that happens. Ultimately, it's all God's plan. Ultimately, it's all God's purpose. That God planned, before creating the world, everything that would happen in the world. And everything in the world is playing out God's plan perfectly, exactly, in every small detail, exactly as he planned it to be. Now, for many people, this idea about God, I think, is more a matter of logic than of actual Bible study that has led them to this conclusion. And for many, they believe that this view brings God glory. That everything that happens is from God. And they call their idea God's sovereignty. And for them, God being sovereign means that God determines everything that ever happens. Well, far be it from me to say that God isn't sovereign. I certainly do believe that God is sovereign. And no one will shake me from that belief. But does the idea that God is sovereign, does that have to mean that God ultimately controls everything that happens? That everything that ever has happened or will happen to happen because God planned it out long in advance? I think that this makes sense to us as human beings with limited power to control what happens. You know, I think almost from the time that we are infants and we figure out that those things waving around in front of our faces are actually our hands and we can control them, we become fascinated with the idea of control, that we can control certain things that happen around us. Now, our control is limited, and we seek ways to try to get more control. Some people, it is trying to use emotional tactics to manipulate other people. For others, it's bullying and so on, but we're trying to ultimately get control of more things that happen around us when we do these things. But the reason we're trying to get more control is that we have limited control. And there are certainly things that are out of our control. Now, for us with limited control and always trying to get more control, it's easy for us to extrapolate to God, who has all power, and figures, well, if God has all power, well, then he would want to control everything. He would want everything to be under his control. Like I can control my hands and my body and so forth. Well, God would want to control every single thing. He'd want to manipulate everything. He'd want to cause everything to happen exactly like he wanted it to. And I think this is more us extrapolating ourselves to infinity and thinking that God is exactly like us than it is really looking at the God of the Bible. Now, the fact is that for many people, this view that God controls everything sounds nice in theory. And many of those people who try to emphasize God's sovereignty, as they call it, and say that God controls everything, they'll point to some great thing that happens. Like they'll point out some person who is just at a really down period in their life and they really need help and they're discouraged and they don't know what to do. And some person just happens along, a divine coincidence, and proclaims the gospel to them. Or they just happen to turn on the TV and see an old friend of theirs and he used to not know the Lord, but now he does, and he's preaching the gospel, and they come to believe it just because they happen to turn on the TV just about to commit suicide, and then I see the person who preaches the gospel, and I don't, and I'm saved. And they say, see, God controls everything. Some of these divine coincidences, we might call them, that happen. Well, there are divine coincidences that happen. I've had them happen to me. And yet, isn't it also true that some people, when they're down and low and don't know what to do and don't know where to go, that for some of those people, some cult member happens along and leads them off into some cult, into some crazy group, into something that's going to teach them a lot of error and not truth? Doesn't that happen? Doesn't it sometimes happen that some people are lonely and then some molester or some abuser comes along and takes advantage of their loneliness just at the wrong time, just when they're most vulnerable? Doesn't that happen? Don't many ugly things happen, just seeming as coincidences? And if God works out those wonderful coincidences, doesn't he have to also work out the terrible ones? See, this view sounds nice in theory, but it falls apart when you take into consideration all the terrible, monstrous things that happen. I remember reading about a man who had believed this idea that God controls everything, that everything happens for according to God's plan and for God's purpose. And he believed that right up until someone near and dear to him died in the 9/11 terror attacks. And then he just said, well, it was a beautiful theory, it was a beautiful doctrine, but now that I saw this happen, I can't believe it anymore. And in fact, I don't think there's a God out there at all. And this happens all too often. People, when they discover their view of God is wrong, they just decide there isn't a God. You know, they don't consider, well, maybe I had a wrong view of God. Maybe my theology was wrong. No, they just decide, well, maybe there isn't a God at all. It's like I couldn't possibly have been wrong in my view of God. So if my view of God doesn't make sense anymore, there must not be a God. And this is what happened to this man when he saw this really ugly thing, this terror attack, these people dying for no reason, and realized, no, this was senseless. This doesn't make sense. This wasn't some grand plan. These people died for no good reason. Well, he decided there isn't a God. And so if we bring up the wonderful coincidences, it might look like God has a plan for everything, but we bring up some of these terrible things, and then it throws the whole view into chaos. Now, if we would look, I believe, at the Bible picture of God, unlike this logical conclusion about him, that he would want to control everything, so of course he must, well, I think the Bible shows us a God who freely delegates authority to his creatures. And so let's leave this silly logic behind, and let's look at the Bible to determine what God is like. But some people do this. They go to the Bible, and yet they will insist that the Bible actually teaches this, that the Bible teaches that God determines everything. And one of their favorite passages that they'll use is Romans chapter 11 and verse 36, which says, "For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." And they would point out, and if you go to the Greek, you could confirm this, that this reads in the Greek, "For out of him and through him and to him are all things." And so they would say, well, out of God are all things. Through God are all things. See, that shows that God determines everything that comes to pass. All is out of God, the good as well as the bad. Everything comes from him. Well, that might sound like it makes sense if you just look at that one passage. But what if we look at some other passages? What if we look at John 8, verse 44? Where Christ says to certain men, "You are of your father the devil." And in the Greek, that's the same thing. You are out of your father the devil. This exact same Greek phrase is in Romans 11:36. Same thing in 1 John 3 and verse 8. He who sins is of the devil. And again, the Greek reads the same as in Romans 11:36. He who sins is out of the devil. So these two verses show us that some things are out of the devil. Now, if there is even one thing that happens, one thing in creation that is not out of God, well, that one thing is enough to prove that everything cannot be out of God. And so these two verses show us that everything in the universe, good and bad, without exception, can't be out of God. Yet couldn't those who believe that everything is out of God say to us, well, aren't you not believing Romans 11:36 then? Isn't Romans 11:36 clear that everything is out of God? And aren't you proving yourself to be an unbeliever, unfaithful to the word, that you won't believe Romans 11:36? And what about some other passages? What about 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 18? Now all things are of God. What about that? Doesn't that say that everything is out of God? What about Ephesians 1:11? In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. They would say, doesn't this passage say that God works all things according to the counsel of his will? Doesn't that mean that everything that happens is God's will? Doesn't that mean that everything that happens, it happens because God willed it, because God had a plan, because God had a purpose, because God caused it to happen? Doesn't that mean that? Well, hopefully you've been picking up on these passages that there is one key phrase here upon which everything hangs, and that is the meaning of these two words, all things. Of out of him and through him and to him are all things. He works all things according to the counsel of his will. All things are of God. See, it all comes back to that phrase, all things. So to discover the truth of this, we need to look at this phrase, all things, in the Greek and discover, does it really mean every single thing without exception? Now, the Greek word for all is pas, P-A-S. And the neuter of pas is pan, P-A-N. Now, the accusative, singular, masculine form is panta. And the nominative plural and accusative plural forms are also panta. Now, the word panta occurs many times in the New Testament, but 37 times it's preceded by the definite article ta. And in many of those occurrences, it is translated, ta panta is translated as all things. And this is the crucial phrase in Romans 11:36, 2 Corinthians 5:18, Ephesians 1:11, and many other passages. It is ta panta is the phrase that's translated all things and that makes some of these statements about God. Now, in order to get all the relevant data in front of my listeners, I'm going to give us at this point a complete concordance of the phrase ta panta as it occurs, as I said, these 37 times in the New Testament. And I will give you the phrase, I won't read the whole verse, but I'll give you the phrase in which ta panta occurs. First occurrence is in Mark 4 and verse 11, in the phrase, all things come in parables. In Romans 8 and verse 32, with him also freely give us all things. The third occurrence, Romans 11:36, is the important phrase we started off with. Of him and through him and to him are all things. That's ta panta again. Fourth occurrence is 1 Corinthians 8:6. The Father, of whom are all things. And the fifth occurrence is later in the same verse, 1 Corinthians 8:6, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things. The sixth occurrence is in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 12, but all things are from God. The seventh is in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 6, God who works all, that's ta panta, in all, that's another phrase in pasin. The eighth occurrence is 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 19. And if they were all, that's ta panta, if they were all one member. The ninth occurrence is in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 27. He who put all things under him is accepted. The tenth occurrence, 1 Corinthians 15:28. Now when all things are made subject to him, all things again there is ta panta. The 11th occurrence is 1 Corinthians 15:28, who put all things under him. The 12th occurrence in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 15, For all things are for your sakes. The 13th occurrence, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 18. Now all things are of God. The 14th occurrence, Galatians 3:22. Scripture has confined all, tapanta, all under sin. 15th occurrence is Ephesians 1:10. Gather together in one all things in Christ. The 16th occurrence, Ephesians 1:11, who works all things according to the counsel of his will. The 17th occurrence, Ephesians 1:23, him who fills all in all. Now, I did find some Greek manuscripts differ on whether that is tapanta or not, but I'm going to go with that it is tapanta in Ephesians 1:23. The 18th occurrence is Ephesians 3 and verse 9, who created all things through Jesus Christ. The 19th occurrence, Ephesians 4:10, that he might fill all things. The 20th occurrence, Ephesians 4:15, in all things into him who is the head. The 21st occurrence, Ephesians 5:13, but all things that are exposed are made manifest. The 22nd occurrence is in Philippians 3 and verse 8. I have suffered the loss of all things. The 23rd occurrence, Philippians 3:21, is able even to subdue all things to himself. The 24th occurrence is in Colossians 1:16. For by him all things were created. The 25th occurrence is in the same verse. All things were created through him and for him. The 26th occurrence is in Colossians 1 and verse 17, and in him all things consist. The 27th occurrence is in Colossians 1:20, and by him to reconcile all things to himself. The 28th occurrence is in Colossians 3:8, but now you yourselves are to put off all these, and all these is tapanta there. The 29th occurrence is in Colossians 3 and verse 11, but Christ is all, that's tapanta, and in all. The 30th occurrence is 1 Timothy 6 and verse 13. God who gives life to all things. The 31st occurrence is in Hebrews 1 and verse 3. Upholding all things by the word of his power. The 32nd occurrence is in Hebrews 2 and verse 8. For in that he put all, that's tapanta again, all in subjection under him. The 33rd occurrence is in the same verse. We do not yet see all things put under him. The 34th occurrence is in Hebrews 2 and verse 10. Him for whom are all things. And the 35th occurrence is in the same verse. And by whom are all things. The 36th occurrence is in Revelation 4 and verse 11. For you created all things. And the 37th and final occurrence is in Revelation 5 and verse 13. And all, that's tapanta, all that are in them. Now, if we look over this list, this concordance of occurrences, in many ways we see this is a Pauline phrase. It occurs once in Mark, 29 times in Paul, 5 in Hebrews, which some people think is Paul, and then twice in Revelation. So the majority of them are in Paul. Now, it's important to determine just what is meant by this phrase, ta panta. Now, some will say it's easy. Tapanta means all things. It means everything without exception. It means the universe. Was that really what tapanta means, the universe, as some have tried to say and teach? No, the fact is that I believe that tapanta means certain things in context. You see, one way to determine the meaning of a word or a phrase is to find a passage in which that meaning is clear, is in fact so clear that the meaning can't be mistaken. And I think if we scan through these 37 occurrences of tapanta, Colossians 3 and verse 8 stands out as such a passage, which reads Colossians 3:8 in the New King James Version, but now you yourselves are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Now, literally translated, this passage would be, but now you yourselves are to put off the all. And obviously that doesn't make sense, so we have to ask what Paul meant. Now, did he mean, as some people have tried to say, the universe? But now you yourselves are to put off the universe? Well, how would you do that? How would you put off the universe? How would you put off everything without exception? Does that mean you should put off all your clothes since you're supposed to put off everything? Should you put off your life by committing suicide? No, 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 that's not what Paul means. And the translators have shown they know that's not what Paul means because they've translated it as all these. And even A.E. Nock, who in his concordant version tried to translate Ta Ponta by the universe, even he had to translate it by all these in this occurrence, showing his concordant version was rather discordant when it came to the phrase Ta Ponta. No, the fact is that all these is the correct translation, and what is meant by Ta Ponta is right there in the context. Paul means you should put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, and filthy language out of your mouth. Or Ta Ponta could possibly refer to what was before this passage in the context, which was fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And Paul is saying you should put off all these. Now, on the basis of this clear example, we would argue that Ta Ponta is a demonstrative expression, idiomatic in character, referring to something which has just been said or which is about to be mentioned. It can best be translated all this or all these, depending on if the singular or the plural fits best the context. And it always refers to something in the immediate context, either right before or right after the occurrence of this phrase, Ta Ponta. Now, Otis Q. Sellers, the founder of the Word of Truth Ministry, has this to say about Ta Ponta. He says, the idiomatic character of Ta Ponta needs to be fully recognized. An idiom is an expression that is peculiar to itself in grammatical construction, one the meaning of which as a whole cannot be derived from the conjoined meaning of its elements. Take, for example, our idiom, a pair of pants. We may define pair and then define pants, but this will not give us the meaning of a pair of pants. The meaning of an idiom cannot be obtained from the meaning of its elements. If we say, many bombs fell on London during the war, our statement can be understood by analyzing each word and joining their meanings together. However, if we say, many a bomb that fell on London failed to explode, we have used an idiom, and the meaning of our statement cannot be gained from its elements. In order for anyone to understand this, he must discover what English-speaking people mean by many a. That Ta Ponta is an idiom is seen by the fact that the article is never used with any other form of pas, or all. In this expression, literal translation makes no sense whatsoever. What we want is not an exact reproduction of the Greek words. We want to reproduce the thought and meaning of the idiom. The words all this or all these will do this perfectly in every occurrence. So Paul is telling the Colossians in Colossians 3:8 that they had once walked in these sins and had been under their power. But now they have been delivered from them and have put them off. Then he lists seven more sins and urges them to put off all these. That Ta Ponta is demonstrative, referring to something just mentioned or about to be mentioned, can be shown just as clearly in other passages. For example, Philippians 3 and verse 8. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Now when Paul says, I count all things, Ponta, loss, then he says, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, Ta Ponta. Now Ponta, all by itself, can be limited by context, but not necessarily. But I believe that Ta Ponta, the idiom, is always limited by context. Paul in the context has listed seven things that were gained to him. And these things he enumerated earlier in the context of Philippians 3. He has counted these seven things as loss for Christ. And he is counting all these things but loss. But he's not counting everything as loss for Christ, the whole universe without exception. So the fact is that many people use this idea that God plans everything more from logic and reason, them deciding what they would do if they were God, than they do from the Word of God. However, there are certain passages that some people turn to try to point out from these passages that they say that God causes everything that happens. God causes all things. And yet, as we examine these passages, we find that they all depend on the Greek phrase Ta Ponta. And a study of the phrase tapant, I believe, reveals that it's an idiom, meaning not all things without exception, not the universe, not everything that's ever been good and bad, but it means all this or all these according to the context. So I don't believe that the Bible teaches that God causes everything, that God plans everything, that God has determined everything in advance, and that every awful thing that ever happens, happens because of God. I just don't believe that that teaching is according to the truth. And so this is part of our answer to the why question. God does not determine everything that happens.
When we begin to understand the meaning of this Greek idiom, it becomes impossible to support the theology that God has caused all things to be, sin and evil, as well as righteousness and good. May we all endeavor to more fully understand the meaning of ta panta. Thank you, Nathan, for your lesson on Does God Determine Everything? On our next program, Nathan will continue his teaching series on the why question with Is All Out of God? Thank you for joining us today. Our hope is that this program motivates you to study God's Word more, causing you to know and love God more. For more information on the program, to hear past programs, and for other downloadable material that Nathan has produced, please visit our website at knowinggodintheword.org. I've been your host, Bob Juneau, with Bible teacher Nathan Johnson. So long for now, but we always look forward to you joining us next week on Knowing God in the Word.